when my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 6:12. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back on Monday. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. 6 at 6.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the Steve Cochran Show presents the top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
Top 6 at 6 on 720 WGNS.
All right, coming in at number one, the U.S. Appeals Court refused to reinstate President Trump's travel ban. A unanimous verdict from the Federal Appeals Court came in yesterday. They are not reinstating the travel ban for the 7 predominantly Muslim countries.
Right, and it was a unanimous verdict, and Trump said, see you in court. I'm sorry, he tweeted.
He tweeted in all caps, see you in court. The security of our nation is at stake.
Right.
Exclamation point.
And Attorney General Jeff Sessions just got his first big assignment.
Yes, he did, didn't he? All right. Coming in at number two. Monster snowstorm in the Northeast. It was fast and intense. 14 inches fell in New York. Parts of New England got 18 inches. 18. We're getting up to what, 45 today? People were complaining about the cold yesterday. I'm like, listen, the Northeast is just terrible.
Getting pounded.
Hundreds of flights canceled. Kellyanne Conway, we followed this story yesterday. It came out while we were on the air. May have violated federal ethic rules by urging people yesterday to buy Ivanka Trump's fashion products during a television appearance. What are they thinking?
I don't know. I don't know what she was thinking. Did you hear what Sean Spicer's reaction was?
No.
She's been counseled. All he would say on it. She has been counseled.
Didn't Ivanka Trump give up control of her business now that she's working for the federal government?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here you go, parents. Almost half of all Americans in their 20s get help from their parents to pay rent. And those in the art and design fields get the most help, an average of, what do you think?
$100 a month?
$3,600 a year. $3,600 a year.
Really?
That's parents are helping their kids in their early 20s.
That seems like a lot.
It's a lot of money, man.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to pay rent when I lived at home. I did.
Kids don't do that anymore.
I wouldn't do that.
You
I
don't pay rent.
Oh, my God. I had to pay rent.
Home.
My mom said, you're going to eat the you're eating the food. You're staying here. It was only, I think, a year. But
how
then
much?
I thought.
How much a month?
Oh, it was nothing. $75 a month.
What if you were late on a payment?
$75 a month?
$50 a month. It was something small. You know, it wasn't a lot of money, but I thought at the end when I moved out, she would give it to me. You know, people said, oh, they're probably creating like a slush fund for you. Or,
no.
I'm still waiting for that.
Did you have to like give them a security deposit?
No.
But did you have student loans? See?
No. Well, I did, but they were.
We all had student loans, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, I paid my student loans off pretty quick, though.
We could pay them off a lot quicker back then because tuition wasn't as expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
Took me 10 years to pay off my student loans.
Wow. Did it really?
10 years. I'll never forget that. Coming in at number five, the top 100 places to live in the United States is out. Chicago comes in at, any guesses?
Number one.
Nope. Dave?
I would say number six.
Six. Mary?
Wait, what was it? What was it again?
The top 100 places to live in the United States.
10.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to drop it. Yeah. I'm going to say
it's down.
The 20s.
Chicago comes in at number 83.
Oh,
you're kidding.
Madison, Wisconsin comes in at number 18. Des Moines, Iowa comes in at number 9.
Come on.
What's number one?
I've been in a blizzard in Des Moines.
Top five, Fayetteville, Arizona.
What?
Number four, Washington.
Fayetteville, Arizona.
Yeah.
Where's that?
I have no idea.
It's a good place to live, though.
It's warm. Number four, Washington, D.C. Number three, San Jose, California. Number two, Denver. And the top place to live in the United States?
Portland.
Anybody?
That's what I'm guessing. No?
New York.
What's the hip place to go to now?
Vegas.
I love Vegas, but no. Austin, Texas.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. My daughter was just there. She had a fabulous time.
Everybody loves Austin. Top 6 at 6. At number 6, Phil Jackson is considered one of the worst executives in the NBA, according to other NBA executives. Dave, would you agree?
You have to look at what he's done or failed to do with the New York
His body
Knicks.
Of work.
It looks like, if you're going to evaluate him as a coach, right?
He's one of the greatest coaches in NBA history.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And one of the worst executives in NBA history.
Wow. Yeah.
He's not going to get another job after New York.
I mean, he'll probably get a job if he wants one somewhere.
He's got 2 years remaining as an executive in New York, $24 million left on his contract.
But you look at what Pat Riley did after he gave up coaching, became an executive, and won championships in Miami.
Yeah, but Phil isn't doing anything in New York. He's running that program into the toilet. Yeah. Who's going to hire him after this?
Yeah, someone will.
As an executive, not a coach.
No, someone will, because everybody will look at the situation. They'll think maybe it's ownership. Was partly to blame. It's just that.
Why would you trade for Joakim Noah, whose body is breaking down?
Because teams always give guys who have reputations
a second chance.
And he has a Hall of Fame reputation, even if it's as a coach, not a GM, not as an executive.
Who's done a worse job? Here in Chicago, Gar and Pax, or Phil in New York? Both pathetic.
Well, but at least the Bulls have had a couple of playoff appearances. Not last year, obviously, but the Knicks have been near the bottom.
Okay. Coming up next, Lou Manfredini with your first call. If you have a question for Lou, why don't you give us a call right now at 312-981-7200. Question for Lou. I was listening last Saturday. I want to talk about dryer vents with Lou in a second. Let's take a look at traffic at 619. Here's Mayor.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
6:23.
Of the show for Lou's First Call.
You got to warn me. I keep clipping those things. 312-981-7200. If you have a question for Mr. Fix-It, you can hear Lou Manfredini every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. last week. Lou, you with us? How you doing, man?
Nice to talk with you, old friend.
I send Lou text messages. I'm up early on a Saturday morning running around, working out. My son's got a basketball game. Last week on your show, you were talking about how important it is to clean out your dryer vent at least twice a year. And just did it 2 weeks ago, and you're right. There is stuff in there.
It's unbelievable.
You need to clean out.
Oh, my gosh. And it's a huge deal. There is a potential fire hazard with it. The catalyst, and I do clean ours out regularly, but my wife had complained. If you notice, anyone listening, if all of a sudden, man, my dryer, it's taking longer to dry the clothes. I can't believe I put that in there and it's taking longer. Usually that's a sign that there's a clog in the line. And I went outside and took a little brush and pulled out a wad the size of a baseball.
Yep.
That could be the reason why all my clothes just are shrinking.
It could be that.
Or you go out to dinner every
night. That's right. That's true.
So, Lou, I started thinking after the dryer, do I need to do something to the washer? Do I need to clean it out? Do I need to vacuum anything?
The washer, really the biggest thing with the washer is the hose lines that lead from either your sink or what's called a gray box in the wall.
Right.
Those hoses should probably be replaced about every 5 to 7 years.
Oh, God.
Because it is, it's basically a garden hose. It's reinforced, but it's a garden hose, and it's under pressure 24 hours a day because, it's the washing machine that holds the water back from coming into the unit, and those can burst. And in particular, I've gotten into the habit, if we ever go out of town, I always turn those water lines off.
Wow, is that a good idea? Mm-hmm. We've lived in our house for 11 years. We've never changed those.
It couldn't be an easier thing to do.
I could even do it. I can't fix anything.
Well, but you can change a garden hose.
Right.
Right. That's all it is.
Any other questions for Lou before we go to the phones?
I have a question, Lou.
It's not recorded?
No, it's not recorded. This one's live.
Wait.
So... There is a drawer in a wood dresser that my wife has that something has fallen behind it. I need to remove the drawer. It has slides on the side, but there is no, I pull the drawer out as far as I could get it, and I can't find a way to release it from the dresser. There's like on one side, on one of the slides, there's a little plastic tab,
right?
But I'm afraid to push that because I don't want to break it.
Yeah, no. So there should be tabs on both. So they're metal slides on both sides.
They're metal slides.
Okay, so on the, when you pull it all the way out, there should be two little tabs, one on either side.
Okay,
spring loaded. You just kind of tweak them with your index finger, with your thumb on top of the slide, and it should pull straight out.
Okay. Try to maybe I just hit the wrong spot, but I'll work on that. Thank you, Lou.
You're welcome.
Dave, is that it? You got one more question?
Lou,
you.
My buckthorn is exploding.
Still.
I just, you know, people always tell me if I get stumped, and I've given Dave, he obviously I've never solved his buckthorn problem.
No.
Let's go to Kevin in Harvard. Kevin, you're on with Lou Manfredini. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. The question I have is I put up a privacy fence in the fall, and it's a greenwood. Okay, so it's like a pine or whatever the case may be. How long do you have to wait for that to be able to stain it?
Spring.
Does it have to dry out or something, or cure or whatever?
You know, with a fence, because the wood is set up vertically, it dries out, and you know, it's exposed on both sides. It dries out much quicker than a deck because the water doesn't sit on it like a deck in the moisture. So once we get to some, you know, drier weather, you get through the spring.
The deck is another issue. So but, go on, I'm sorry.
But once you get to... some drier weather, you know, in probably the late spring, you can go ahead and do a quick little pressure wash so it's nice and clean. The trick with any wood, once it's sat out for a while, is a little bit of light sanding just to open up the grain. You can use an electric sander or even a sponge sander, just a little bit, and then use a semi-transparent deck and fence stain over the top of it.
God, I am on it, too. Thank you, Kevin. And, Kevin, hold on a second, buddy. What do we have for you? Hold on. I got something for you.
A Sensi Wi-Fi thermostat from April Air.
We do. How about that?
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Hold on the line. And, Lou, before you go, I got to ask you about grass seed and fertilizer. You introduced me to Jonathan Green's fertilizer and grass seed, and I talk about this every single year. It's the greatest thing ever. I finally grew grass 2 years ago when you told me about it.
What people don't know is Pete would constantly send me text messages with pictures of his lawn. Because you were so excited.
Yes. It works.
Right.
I mean.
And I would say that you needed a hobby, but that was what you really liked to do.
I live in the city. My grass is probably the size of everyone's master bathroom, but I want to grow grass. Right. I want to do it. And I want to grow grass under the tree.
That's the Peoria boy in you.
It is. Right. And you can get the shade, Jonathan Green, and it works.
Yeah, the dense shade is if there's an area in your yard where you've never been able to grow grass because it's so shaded, this dense shade stuff is like magic.
I'm telling you, it works. And you told me to move around the dirt and get some, what kind of dirt?
Topsoil.
Topsoil. Right. I mean, you know, the stuff with the minerals.
Maybe say grow your lawn, because every time you say grow grass, you know, the red light on the phone lights up.
My lawn. Grow grass on my lawn.
Just were funny. You said,
legal now?
I want to go grass.
He's got a dispensary on the side.
I'm telling you, I'm obsessed with, I mean, I text him all summer long.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
It's like our, you know, it's that's how we communicate.
Right.
And, you know, you have to change your oil and your lawnmower. You got to start thinking about this type of stuff, guys.
Absolutely.
When do you do that? March? Late March?
Well, I mean, you know, once it starts to warm up, it's if you didn't do it in the season when you put it away, that's a good thing to do once a year. So, yeah, March is good.
Okay.
New spark plug.
And tomorrow morning, you're live somewhere, right?
Yeah, we're out at the Pheasant Run Resort from 7 to 10. The broadcast, if you come early, by the way, to the broadcast, you get free admission to the home show that same day, and it's all brought to you by our friends at PermaSeal.
And you're going to feed them.
And there's going to be free breakfast.
How about that?
Yeah.
I love it. I'll tune in tomorrow, Lou. Thank you.
See you guys.
Lou Manfredini, and congratulations again to Kevin. He picks up an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. The big story is coming up next. And again, Lou is brought to you by American Weather Makers. The big story. Of course, we're going to talk about the travel ban up next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I think the only reason I would have a kid is so that I could tell all of my friends with kids that I'm busy and they'll finally believe me. Because nobody's as busy as them. I can't imagine how much work it is to cook all that food for 235-pound people who only eat chicken fingers and microwave pancakes. How do they do it? How do they fold their tiny little clothes and play toys? I'll never know. And they're so condescending. You're so condescending. Doesn't matter what I have going on in my life. It's so trivial. What'd you do today? Did you write your little jokes today? Is that what you did? You wrote your little jokes? As a matter of fact, yeah, I spent 3 hours in front of my computer rewriting the same joke 15 times, agonizing over sentence structure, because if it isn't just right, it won't be funny, and 200 people will turn on me. But I'm sure driving little Kayla to art class was equally taxing psychologically.
Hey, hey!
642 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. On Thursday, April 6th, there is a benefit at Laugh Factory at Belmont and Broadway called Laugh Your Face Off. Our next guest put this whole thing together. He is without a doubt a comic genius. He is funny. He is engaging. He is good looking. And he is my neighbor from WGN TV Morning News, our old buddy, Pat Tomasulo. Pat?
Wait a second, Connor. Cochran's not in today? How are you, buddy?
You know what?
That bit in its infancy there. It was all right, though. Thank you for playing that. That's very kind of you.
You know, I told Andrea off the air, your stand-up, I mean, in person, you're kind of a weird dude, but your stand-up is off the charts hilarious.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Considering you haven't seen it in about 3.5 years, I'll take that as a compliment, Pete.
I hope to be there on Thursday, April 6th.
You know what? You say, how many times? Not even this show. I would love to have you at this show, but mm-hmm. how many times have I been at the Zanies?
Uh-huh.
Have I been at the Laugh Factory?
Right.
You make promise.
Listen, man, I'm busy. I got a kid.
Promise.
I got to make chicken fingers.
Promised me last night.
I got to take him to
basketball. Dogs together.
Right.
Did you get back to me? No, I didn't hear from you again.
I sent him a text yesterday. I said, hey, why don't we walk our dogs together in the neighborhood so we'll have something to talk about? And of course,
honestly, God, we've had the dog. She just celebrated her first birthday.
Oh, that's
wonderful. We adopted her 9 months ago. Let me tell you something. It would have been cheaper for me to adopt a child than this dog in the first year. I was going over the bills that I have paid for that. What happened to like 30 years ago, nobody paid this much for dogs.
Nobody.
They fed them Alpo and there was nothing wrong with them. And they went to the vet every 2 years.
Right.
I'm getting killed by this dog.
Don't they have, like, now doggy daycare? And,
oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, I have to drop her off there because she doesn't get 5 hours of playing in a day. She's going to drive me up a wall when I get home. But I love her.
And then
she's
sweet.
Do
you have the dog walker, too?
I got to get one in the morning because I'm here.
See?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, think
First
about how much
problems,
money.
First world problems, man. This is what we're dealing
it
with.
It is. It's rough stuff. We have a dog, too, and I've never seen you walk your dog in the neighborhood one time in the last 6 months.
Stop it.
One time. I was headed to an exercise class on a Saturday morning. I look to my left, and I see Tomasulo throwing away poop from his dog in the poop bag.
That's because you know your wife's walking that dog. You're not even walking
I'm like,
that dog.
Hey, dude, what's happening? He waves, and I take off.
You have no control over that animal. Anyway.
Let's talk about the benefit that's happening on Thursday, April 6th.
It is. It's Laugh Your Face Off. As you know, and some of your listeners might know if they watch our show, my wife has a chronic pain disease. It's called trigeminal neuralgia, which is doctors classify it, those in the know classify it as the worst pain known to mankind. And that's not putting it lightly. Very, very, very painful condition that she and thousands of others suffer from. So we started this fundraiser in 2015. It's a stand-up comedy show. And we raise money for a foundation that I'm a trustee for that funds research projects across the country. We've done it 2 years. We've raised about $285,000. And this is our third year, and there is a chance, a very good chance, that the way this thing is shaping up, we may get close to that total this year alone. We got a lot of pretty massive things that we're doing this year with it that I will be announced shortly, but I will tell you that they are going to be some pretty cool developments. We're going to have I'm going to be on the show this year. Mike Toomey is going to be on the show. Can I say this? Because he's on another radio show in Chicago. But the great Leon Rogers from WGCI will be on the show.
Sure.
Dwayne Kennedy, Megan Gailey, and more. Tickets are going to be on sale probably the end of next week. And for more information, you can go to laughyourfaceoff.org.
$285,000 in 2 years. You're going to match that this year?
Well, I don't know if we'll hit 285, but there's a very, very good chance we might get in the 250 range. We got a couple of things that we got in the works that we think are going to drive up some things. We're doing a silent auction this year, which we haven't done in the past, but we got some really phenomenal silent auction prizes. We're working on a 7-night trip to the Caribbean, a vacation,
okay,
or even better than that, a behind-the-scenes tour of the WGN Morning News and lunch with the entire Morning News team.
What's that start at, 25?
2,500.
Oh.
Yeah, you got Robin Baumgarten there. She doesn't come cheap. You know how much money it takes for her not to immediately go home at 10:01 a.m. every
10:01.
Day?
10:01, she's in her car.
I was going to say, make it more of a breakfast, Pat.
Oh,
like
my.
10:15,
10:15, she's gone by 10:15.
We're going to get a 20-person suite to a White Sox game with a special visit from Hall of Famer Frank Thomas. Has said he will hang out with our auction winner. So we got a lot of stuff like that. The Sandwich King, Jeff Morrow, and I are going to do a sandwich and pub crawl with some winners.
I love Morrow.
He's
I'm
best,
in on that one.
He?
I'll pay to go on that one.
So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be April 6th. Tickets are going to go on sale the end of next week.
LaughYourFaceOff.org is the website. Now, the facial pain research. Talk about the disease a little bit, about your wife. It's one thing to have a disease like this, but it's another thing to talk about it publicly.
Right.
And your wife was thrown into the spotlight. First of all, she has this debilitating disease and thrown in the spotlight because you want to raise money for this to try to find a cure.
Right. And, you know, she and I are different personalities. In that regard, she's not one that necessarily likes the limelight. And hey, I'm not saying that I do either. You know, yeah, I get up on stage 150 times every year, but I do it for the people.
Oh yeah. So
she, you know, it took us a while to get to that point to really put her out there, but she has embraced it. I mean, it's a debilitating thing. I mean, there are many different forms of it, some more severe than others. Hers is on the worse side of the spectrum, but believe it or not, there are people who have it worse than she does. There's no cure for it at all. There are some treatments. Some people respond to medication. Some people find surgical relief, but oftentimes the pain will come back. There's no guarantee that it will last forever, and there are a lot of surgeons out there who are not specialized or highly skilled in the particular surgeries that that are used to treat this. So you have a lot of people that try different treatments and that get butchered and then end up worse than when they went in. So, you know, the money is great. I mean, our foundation is focused purely on research. It's an all volunteer based group, so 98% of every dollar that we raise goes directly to research, and 100% of what we collect at the fundraiser goes to the foundation. So obviously the money is paramount, but you know, it's also the awareness too. I mean, that's
right.
That's part of some of the steps we've taken this year. Again, I don't mean to be cryptic, but I just, you know, would get in trouble for saying things a little sooner than I need to.
I understand.
But ways that we will be increasing the awareness too, because that's a big part of it too. This year we have Northwestern is on board with us as one of our sponsors.
Good for you.
So that's great. You know, that's the, you know, one of their surgeons is getting involved with us, and so people will be able to meet him at the fundraiser, and we're hoping that that's you know, a destination for people who might have it locally to also go.
And are we going to see the owner of Laugh Factory, Jamie Masada?
Of course, buddy.
Jamie, how you doing,
Pete,
buddy?
McMurray,
he talks like this.
Pete,
this is Jamie Masada.
Let me tell you
Chicago,
something. That guy,
Pat Tamahulo.
That guy, that guy gives us that club every, and you know, he didn't like to do that.
No,
he gives us that club for an entire night every year, and gives us every dime that comes in.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal,
it
right?
Is.
I mean, that's
Jamie.
He
doesn't need to do
grand.
That, and of course he doesn't want to, but he does it for you.
Yeah, So yes. He's a good man. He's been very supportive of us. Everybody over there is terrific.
And I want to thank Uncle Dean, who will be on at 8 o'clock, for helping you set things up over at WGN-TV.
Pete McMurray's thanking you.
I heard Dean had to walk you over to the little microphone area at WGN-TV.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This mic is shaking. I'm holding it. Can you hear that?
Yes,
is that
I
coming
can.
Over your ear?
Thanks. Not at
yeah.
all, no.
Diener is very, man, you don't bother him when he's in the zone.
No, he's like, in
he's
the
over
zone,
there
man.
Writing he's, something he's, and
oh,
you
yeah.
can't even.
He's talking he's movies and entertainment
like,
today.
I love Dean, but he, like, people don't know he can be terrifying.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Laughyourfaceoff.org, Pat Tomasulo. I love you, buddy.
Love you too, buddy. Hey, see you this weekend.
No, you won't.
Okay.
You won't. That's the thing.
Nice
we say we're going
to
see
right?
each other, even though we live a block and a half from each other. We never see each other ever.
Cat, he'll see you because he just parks himself outside your front lawn behind your trees.
Yeah.
I honk
yeah.
when I drive past his house, and that's not a joke.
Yeah. Can't wait to call you again at the Halloween parade.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. Later.
There is a Halloween parade in our neighborhood.
I love the Halloween parade. I used to live up there.
So cute.
It's really, really cool.
Okay.
You know what, though? Pat Tomasulo, if you haven't seen him do stand-up,
he is funny.
Hilarious. He is one of the most creative people I know.
He's the weirdest guy in person, I'll tell you right
yeah,
now. I'm kidding.
Great stand-up, though. I would do this.
Laughyourfaceoff.org. 657. Thanks again to Pat Tomasulo. You know, we joke with Pat, but it's just a horrible disease that his wife has. Think about having facial pain 24/7, like someone stabbing you in the face. And this is his wife, and he wants to do everything he can. And they're going to raise over $200,000 this year.
Yeah, and we're just talking too off the air. Channel 9 did a cover story. They interviewed Pat and his wife,
right.
I want to say about a year ago. And she was so cute. She said, you know, I told him right from the beginning, hey, I'm dealing with this. And he said something to her like, well, hey, you have to live with me. So there you go.
Done deal. That is so true. Trust me
yeah.
on that one. I know Pat.
It was great.
Yes. Laughyourfaceoff.org. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Rick Pearson. That governor's race is heating up. We're 13 months out, and Kennedy and Rauner are going back and forth already.
I know. And Alderman Pawar declared, he was the first Democratic candidate to declare.
Right.
And they have, you know, he's been out there, but not as verbal
yeah.
as Kennedy in the past few days.
Well, they both have name recognition. If you're a Kennedy and you're going to say, hey, I'm running for governor in Illinois, boom.
Yep. And there's rumors J.B. Pritzker could get in the race as early as next week.
So we'll talk to Rick right after 7 o'clock.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On the phone with us is Chris Kennedy.
Well, I don't think we can tax our way out of the problems that we face in the state of Illinois, but I don't think we can cut our way out either. I do think that, you know, we got through the Depression, we got through World War II, the Vietnam War, the Great Recession, and in each of those times, we always had a state budget. Why is it so much harder now? Why can every state do it, and we can't?
7:12, our next guest you can read is political columns in the Chicago Tribune. You can hear him Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on the Sunday Spin. You can follow him on Twitter, @Rap30. It's Rick Pearson. Rick, good to talk to you, man.
Hey, good to talk to you, Pete.
Chris Kennedy on the show yesterday throws his hat in the ring, and of course, Rauner goes right after him and calls him one of Madigan's cronies. It's already heating up.
Oh, it is. And frankly, it's never let up. That's been kind of, we've seen this on the national level of the never-ending political campaigns, and that has definitely come to Illinois. We had Governor Rauner just at the end of last year, putting $50 million of his own money into his campaign fund is kind of a show of force, a show of strength against any prospective Democratic nominee. But there will be, a pretty big field of potential Democratic candidates, including Chris Kennedy.
When I heard that the other day, $50 million of his own money he put in his campaign chest, how much was spent on the last election when he ran against Quinn?
I would say somewhere around 60 to 70 million.
Jeez,
we could feasibly put a down payment and half balance the budget. We wouldn't have to go through any of this.
If only it were that simple.
Right, right.
I mean, we're running a bill backlog of overdue bills of over $11 billion. So the state is really, really in a financial mess.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick, of the three, well, Pawar and Kennedy, and if J.B. Pritzker decides to throw his hat into the ring, who of those three, and I know you said that there will be more, and I'm sure there will be two, but who of those three would give Rauner the biggest challenge?
You know, this is kind of a dilemma that Democrats are facing, is do you find somebody who has their own personal deep pockets to be able to self-fund their campaign and be able to match Ron on a dollar-for-dollar basis? You do that, and then they can self-fund. That allows other monies to be raised for, don't forget, we've got the rest of the statewide ticket plus legislative races that go on in 2018. So that's viewed as a positive by some. But at the same time, you know, Democrats have, since Rauner's election, been raising the issue that, well, the state is being controlled by millionaires and billionaires. And if you have a millionaire, billionaire self-funder, that takes that argument away from Democrats.
That's rough stuff, man. Rick, what are the swing counties for the governor's race? Is it Lake, Peoria, Rock Island? I know Winnebago is usually a Democratic county, but it went 60-40 to Rauner in the last election, I want to say.
Well, I think the one thing to really look at, and this is based off the presidential results, and of course there's always a bigger turnout in presidential races, but one thing that was very interesting is that you had most of the collar counties, which, you know, traditionally are the kind of Republican firewall against Chicago and suburban Cook County. Those, most of those Republican collar counties went for Hillary Clinton. Who knows what that issue, you know, may have been there, but, you know, we're going to be seeing a race where basically Democrats are going to be pointing at Rauner and going Trump, 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 and Rauner is going to continue pointing at Democrats and going Mike Madigan, Mike Madigan, Mike Madigan. And, I mean, part of the dynamic and the unknown dynamic is, where does President Donald Trump stand among the electorate? Yes, Illinois is a blue state, mm-hmm. but where does Donald Trump stand when it comes to the 2018 election in November of that year?
Rick, there's also this feud that continues to just percolate between School Chief Forrest Claypool and Governor Rauner earlier in the week. Claypool comparing Rauner to Trump and sending home a letter, which was so strange, sending home a letter with the school kids basically outlining what's happened, pretty much blaming Rauner for lack of school funding.
Right, and then Rauner's education secretary, Beth Purvis, responding that this is a problem that predates Governor Rauner and that the city and Mayor Rahm Emanuel ought to get behind efforts to change the state's pension laws, which is a big part of that $250 million that Rauner vetoed. Very unusual in the fact that you don't see missives coming from education officials that are overtly political. You might see them say, hey, there's a referendum on the ballot. You know, you really ought to consider, you know, more money for your local schools. But you never really see it to the extent that it carries over into the personal, where it makes comparisons of Bruce Rauner to Donald Trump. And there's been a complaint filed with the Inspector General over the ethics of using taxpayer-assisted resources for what Republicans consider to be an overtly political mailing sent out to students.
Rick, President Trump lost the court battle to reinstate the travel ban. We're 3 weeks into the Trump presidency, and all your years covering politics, how crazy has this 3 weeks been?
It's been unbelievable, and it's I mean, we knew this was going to be an unpredictable presidency, and I was speaking with David Axelrod last night at Aurora University, and he said that's definitely what part of this is that unpredictability of using these executive orders to try to demonstrate that, you know, here's, he was elected to do things, and he's trying to do things quickly and please that core that voted for him. But at the same time, moving quickly, that doesn't mean that things are always fleshed out, as we saw with the chaos that occurred with the executive order on refugees and immigrants. You know, certainly the Ninth Circuit is viewed as more liberal, was kind of viewed as likely to uphold the Seattle federal judge's ruling that returned things to the status quo. One of the questions that the appellate court had was, as the Justice Department attorney on behalf of the Trump administration argued that things were moving very quickly, the appellate court said, well, if things are moving quickly, why are you bringing this action? Why don't you let the trial court in Seattle actually deal with it?
Right.
Now it's questionable whether, I mean, and it seems very likely that the Trump administration will still move ahead, move to the next step and go to the Supreme Court. And of course, Supreme Court deadlocked ideology wise on a 4-4. 4-4 ruling would let the appellate court and ultimately the Seattle court ruling hold.
Why are we in such a hurry? I mean, that's the main question. Rick, what do you have on Sunday?
I've got Republican Congressman Peter Roskam from Wheaton. The congressman has been in, like several others, including last night with Jacob Chavitz, the Republican chairman of the House Oversight Committee, trying to hold town halls and or meetings and being greeted by protesters. Democrats see an opportunity against Roskam in a heavily Republican district and have already decided to send a campaign staffer into his district to head for the 2018 election. So, like I said, it's how we began, Pete. It never stops.
Sunday Spin, Sunday morning, 7 a.m. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rap30. Rick Pearson. Rick, great to talk to you, man.
Always good to talk to you, Pete. Thanks.
All right, see you, buddy. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Attorney Karen Conti. What does the ruling mean in the long term? That's what we're going to.
Yep.
Yes, that's what we're going to talk to Karen about. But first, time for traffic, 7:20. Here's Mayor.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
In response to the president's tweet, well, we have seen him in court twice, and we're 2 for 2. That's number one.
And how far are you willing to take your travel ban fight?
Oh, we're going to take it through the system. It's very important. It's very important for the country, regardless of me or whoever succeeds at a later date.
In my view, the future of the Constitution is at stake.
If you were a good student in high school or a bad student in high school, you can understand this.
They still have to follow the Constitution. That's the bottom line. And we firmly believe that this executive order does not.
It's common sense. You know, some things are law, and I'm all in favor of that. And some things are common sense.
7:25, President Trump lost the court battle to reinstate his travel ban. To help us better understand the ruling yesterday from Conti Law Offices, it's Karen Conti. Karen, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Good morning, Pete.
What are the long-term enforceability of the ban? What's the long-term effects here? What's going to happen?
You know, it really doesn't have a long-term effect, Pete, because what this was an appeal of an injunction. An injunction is really preliminary. It's just, should we be enforcing this while we decide whether it's constitutional or should we not? So this is really just a quick look and a quick opinion that says that we think the government's probably going to lose on this case, and so therefore we're not going to reinstate the travel ban. So it really doesn't have any serious precedential effect. But what we want to see from this decision is, what are the courts thinking about? What are the weak parts of this law? What are the weak parts for the state who's arguing that it should be stricken? And what's interesting about the opinion, which is a full-blown opinion, and it's, you know, readable in English if you want to look at it, basically it says that due process is a serious problem here, because this law applies not only to people who are coming in from other countries illegally, but this applies to people who are here legally, giving them no notice, giving them no process, giving them no hearing before they're sent back to a place that you know, from which they are entitled to be. And the court found serious problems with that and said that we're not going to enforce that pending a full hearing on whether it's constitutional.
Is this religious discrimination, even though the president says it's not a Muslim ban?
This is a very interesting point, because this set of three judges, and I'm hearing this on all the good radio stations and television stations, this court did not rule on that issue. It simply did not rule. It said, listen, we have concerns about whether this violates the discriminatory clauses, the establishment clause of a First Amendment, like you can't discriminate between Muslims and Christians. We have serious problems, but we're not going to rule on that because we've already ruled the due process is a problem. So let's have the lower court rule on that, and let's have the government prove whatever it wants to prove as far as what its real intent was. In my view, that argument is probably the strongest argument to strike down the law, because it does seem to affect Muslims more than anyone else. And the administration has gone on everywhere to say, yes, this is a Muslim ban. Yes, we're going to accept Christians who come to the country, but maybe not Muslims. So you could see by their talking that there's a discriminatory intent, or at least that argument can be made. Again, this court did not rule on that issue.
Karen, it seems like it's an uphill battle now on behalf of the president. The decision was unanimous by the appeals court. So does Jeff Sessions or the president's legal counsel go to him now and say, okay, this isn't winnable? What is their next step?
okay, a couple steps, they can ask for an on-bank hearing. So we go back to the same court, and we sit with the whole panel of judges, 10, 11 judges it would be in that court. That would kind of probably be a waste of time because that court is very liberal, or at least it's generally deemed to be liberal. So it's probably going to do the same thing. I don't see it overturning its own court. And then the next step would be go to the U.S. Supreme Court. But the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't have to take it. So they would have to decide that they were going to take it, which is, again, an uphill battle because most Supreme Court they don't take cases that are injunctions. They wait for the law to be stricken down, and then they take up the cause. My view, and I would give this advice to Donald Trump if he really wants to have this ban upheld, why don't you just drop the ban and write a new one? Write a new one that complies with the law. Write a new one that has no discriminatory intent. Write a new one that takes care of the problems that this order had. Now, he could do that. There's a way to do this that's legal. And here's the bottom line. The president has broad discretion when it comes to immigration, when it comes to national security. And the Supreme Court has rarely stricken down an executive order relating to those things. You just have to do it right, okay? And you have to do it in a way that has legal protections for people who it might apply to inadvertently. So I don't think Trump's going to do that because that would be a defeat in his mind. But I think that would be the best legal strategy here.
He would never. I don't think he's going to do that. I agree with you. We're talking to Karen Conti. Before you go, I got to ask you about Kellyanne Conway. She goes on national television yesterday and tells people to go out and buy Ivanka Trump's products. Members of Congress on both sides are asking the federal regulators to look into this. How is this not a conflict of interest?
Yeah, there's a rule that says executive branch people are banned from endorsing products or using their office for public gain. And this really kind of reeks of that. I mean, she didn't mean to do that, I'm quite sure. She was just talking. But still, that's the kind of thing the Office of Governmental Ethics really considers to be pretty serious. So the general procedure is they're going to investigate it probably. They're probably going to issue a warning to her because it's the first time. The concern is long term, though, because we have to watch what Donald Trump is going to do with his ongoing concerns. And this is one of the things that people, when they talk about impeachment, they say that this might be the topic that would result in an impeachment, the fact that he's got these business concerns and there's an appearance that he's using his office to further those concerns. I don't know that we've seen that. I'm not saying there is any of that right now, but there's certainly that concern.
I like to bring it down to the lowest common denominator for people because I'm an idiot. I mean, shouldn't there be someone in the White House saying, guys, you can't say stuff like this. Keep your mouth shut. We need to lay low for a few days.
Well, didn't Sally Yates do that, Karen? And look what happened to her.
Exactly. I don't know. And that's a political question. But I guess I just assume that Trump is, you know, surrounding himself by people who are yes people. I think that, you know, he's not a politician. And, you know, I think people were refreshed by that. We don't want politicians anymore. We want someone from reality TV. We want someone from business. We want someone from who's going to come in and do these things and just do them quickly and meet his promises, which is what he's trying to do. But there are so many pitfalls here. You know, the law, the Constitution, the internal rules. And I just don't know that he's being advised of those things.
He is not.
Certainly, he can do these things. He just has to do them right.
KContiLaw.com, C-O-N-T-I, Karen Conti. Karen, what's your phone number if people want to get in touch with you?
Sure, it's 312-332-7800.
Karen Conti, thanks for joining us, Karen.
Okay, have a great weekend.
All right, you too. It's 7:32, the big story coming up next on 720 WGN.
Three straight on, goal!
Seven 44, 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back on Monday. Northwestern 18-6 on the season in fourth place in the Big Ten. How did they lose to Illinois the other night?
Because of Illinois'
Illinois
powerful.
Played well, and they didn't shoot the ball very well.
That's
and
the thing that with happened. College basketball,
and
man.
It happens, you know, you win some close ones, you lose some close ones. It was a tie game with 90 seconds to go.
That is such a media person's answer. You know, you win some close ones, you lose some close ones.
It's not a media
Thank you for
person's,
that, Dave. Back to you.
It's not a media person's answer, but that's the truth. I mean, you look around, I mean, Wisconsin's number 7 in the country.
Yep.
Right? They've won 21 games, 21-3, and they win last night by one at Nebraska.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay. Huge game at UW-Madison on Sunday. Joining us is the head coach of the Cats, Coach Chris Collins. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning. 18-6, a great start, but people are focused on the two back-to-back losses.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It's, you know, that's kind of the way it is. I heard Dave talking a little bit ago. We had a tough loss on Tuesday night against Illinois, and obviously one we'd like to have back. We had the lead with about 3 minutes to go and was tied with a minute and a half and just didn't make the plays down the stretch and, you know, got to regroup. We talk with the guys all the time. It's a long year, and the ebbs and the flows of the year of ups and downs is crazy. And the teams that usually do the best jobs and navigate it the best are the ones that stay the course and kind of, you know, work themselves through the good and bad times. And we've had a couple losses here, and we got to dig down and find a way to get back on the winning track.
Do you talk to them, Coach, about look at this game, look at that game in the Big Ten, and point out that the teams that are at the top of the conference or close to the top of the conference have all had some bumps in the road? I mean, you look at Maryland the other night. You look at Wisconsin with a close call last night in Nebraska. At Michigan State. I mean, they've all had their rough moments this year.
Yeah, we definitely talk about how the league has been this year with that. I mean, our guys know, and I think every team in the league knows that anyone in the league is capable of beating anyone at any time. I mean, you know, about 2 weeks ago, the team, you know, Rutgers, who, you know, is has two wins in the league, was beating Wisconsin by 7 points with 2 minutes to go.
Right.
And, you know, should have probably won that game and didn't, you know. But the other night, Maryland loses to Penn State after, you know, beating a lot of teams in a row. So it's up and down the line. It doesn't matter who you play. Doesn't matter where the game is. There's so much parity. The teams are so even, and you have to play well that day or that night. And our guys, for the most part, have understood that. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we have the record we have, is because we have navigated that pretty well.
18-6. Coach, how do you not look ahead? It's human nature to look ahead and say, okay, we got 7 games left in the schedule. If we go 4-3, we're in the tournament for sure. How do you not look ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to not let your mind go there. You know, and especially with us, we've, like you guys talked about, we've lost a couple in a row. So, you know, your mind instantly comes to the present really quick when that happens, you know, and it's about trying to get the next game. And it's something we focused on all year. You know, we understand, you know, the outside noise and the chatter and what people are talking about historically that may be done. I mean, that's part of this whole deal. We understand that, but we've also talked as a team that we have to stay in the present. We have to stay in the moment. We have to stay focused on what we can do that day, that next game, because if we don't, it can go the other way in a quick hurry. And, you know, so I've been really proud of our guys. You know, we've tried to come up with things with each game, different motivational things to take the focus away from the long term and kind of put the focus on what that next game may mean. And fortunately, you know, there have been a lot of games throughout the last month where historically we could do some things that hadn't been done in program history. And I think that's helped our guys kind of stay focused on that next opponent. So I've been proud of our guys for that. It's not easy in today's day and age, the platform, social media, you know, everything out there that's thrown in their face about what could happen down the line. And I've been proud of our guys for really, you know, staying focused and staying in the present, because that's what we have to do. If we don't do that, then, you know, we're not going to accomplish our goals.
You played the last two games without your leading scorer, Scotty Lindsey, who's been out ill. Any update on him?
Yeah, no current update. You know, he's still out right now, and you know, we're hoping to get him back really soon. It's been a tough break for us, but most importantly for him. I mean, he's having an all-conference season, you know, by any stretch. I mean, he's one of the leading scorers in the conference. He's a big part of what we do, and, you know, he's maybe the most improved player from last year to this year as well. So as much as I hate it for us as a team, because it is a big blow, I've hated it more for him because, you know, he was having such a great season, and, you know, it's been a little bit of a bump in the road, and, I know once we get him back, it's, you know, hopefully we'll be better for it, because some of these other guys have had great experience and are going to need to step up even more without him.
We're talking with Chris Collins, head basketball coach for the Cats. Now, Coach, I consider myself a true two guard. I'm a shooter, okay? And when Cochran's gone on the radio, I fill in for him. I sent him a text before the big game when he was shooting the half-court shot, and I said, Steve, if you want me to fill in when you take that shot, I'll do it for you, because I feel like I could make that shot. Now, you were there. Did you get a chance to see it? Because I heard Dave Ennett's call on the radio, and it sounded horrendous.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance. They do that, those promotions during the timeouts, so... You know, obviously I'm in the huddle trying to figure things out with our guys. I did tell Steve last week when I was on, though, that I did get distracted by the roar of the standing ovation when they introduced him. And then I did get distracted by the subsequent gasp, you know, after the brutal air ball. So there were two loud noises that were hard to ignore. And I did not see the result, but I could kind of put two and two together.
Yeah, that's rough stuff. And, Coach, I have an 11-year-old, Charlie McMurray. And we've been to a Northwestern basketball game the last 2 years with his entire basketball team. And we plan on hitting one of the games before the end of the season. This is what you want. You want a winning team where you get these young kids that grow up being Cats fans.
No question. You know, and that's been a big, you know, emphasis for us, especially locally. And I understand. I mean, there are a lot of people in this area that have gone to other schools as undergrads and things of that nature. But this is their home. And, you know, we want to become, whether you went to Northwestern or not, we want to become that team locally that people can rally around. We got a great group of guys. You know, Dave will tell you the environments have been fantastic this year, just fun games, the energy, the excitement. And that's what we're trying to build for. You know, we want to be that hometown team where kids your son's age can grow up going to the games and becoming fans of the program. And that's how you build it. And it's been a process. I'm in year four now, and it definitely didn't start that way. But over time and through some success and a lot of hard work from our players, it's become a really exciting environment to go watch a game. So it's been really fun to be a part of it.
Maryland's in Wednesday night. Four home games left. That's the only one that there are some tickets left for. The other three home games are
sold
out.
I feel like I got a guy. You're sitting right across from me. You're the voice of Cats basketball.
Well, I can help hook you up.
Go
potentially.
I need 14 tickets, if that's okay.
But that could be a problem.
14.
That could
Make
be a problem.
16.
Coach, I have to ask you real quick. Did you get a chance to watch your second favorite team win last night?
Yeah, I mean, how could you? Unfortunately, we didn't play last night, so how could you not, you know, have a seat on the couch? Those Duke Carolina games are special. You know, being a part of those for 17 years and now watching it on TV, it makes me realize even more, you know, how special it was for me to be a part of that rivalry for 17 years. There's nothing like it, the energy and the games and the talent, the level of play. It's pretty special.
Coach, good luck on Sunday against the Badgers.
No, appreciate being on the show, guys. Always fun.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Chris Collins, Northwestern basketball.
Right, yeah. And we'll have it right here on WGN Sunday from Madison, 5:15.
Love Madison. Great city.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Kiss me,
8:12. Let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN. We got breaking news about Aretha Franklin.
What? Oh, that's me?
Yes, that's you.
Oh.
Good morning.
I thought you were going to say hello first.
How are you, buddy?
How are you?
Good, man.
How's the morning going?
Thank you for helping Pat Tomasulo at 6:40 this morning come
pleasure.
On the show.
Yeah, Pat is technically challenged and apparently didn't know how to sit down at a desk and push one button.
Mm-hmm. So you had to walk him over, hold his hand at WGN-TV. See, if people don't know, you're over at the television station. We're here on Michigan Avenue.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Pat's defense, it's a crazy morning around here because just about everybody who works here brought their kids to work today.
Is today the day?
No, today's not bring your kids to work day unless you're at WGN. Because we have as a guest on the TV morning show later this morning, Paw Patrol. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
That's a like Nickelodeon?
It's a Nickelodeon show.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's super popular with the kids. It's about a boy named Ryder who leads a pack of rescue dogs known as the Paw Patrol.
Okay.
And I have never it's like Christmas morning here. Kids are so excited.
Wow.
To see this Paw Patrol. Here.
Mary knows what this is all about.
Do you know Paw Patrol, Mary?
Do you know Paw Patrol?
I do know Paw Patrol. And oftentimes my stepson, who is almost 10, we will catch him watching it. And when he's been asked about it, he's like, it reminds me of when I was a little kid. So he loves it. Gives him good memories.
I had to look it up because all my nieces and nephews are pretty much aged out of this. But apparently these dogs, the Paw Patrol, reside in dog houses that can transform into customized vehicles when necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And they're equipped with backpacks called pup packs.
Pup packs, yeah. Patrick had a pup pack.
Really?
That contain tools.
Is it kind of like the show when I was a kid, there was chimps that were dressed up in suits and... Now, I brought this up before on the air, and I can't remember the name of the show, but when Saturday mornings, there was a show where chimps were dressed in suits and they went to work.
I watched that.
What was that show?
I don't remember. It was the weirdest thing ever, though. They were like detectives.
Yes,
they were
something like that. Yeah.
Paw Patrol is nothing like that.
Well, back in the day, they had chimps, and now it's dogs. That was my point.
Mike Toomey would know this. Mike Toomey would know this.
He would know.
Is he right there? Hey, Mike. What's the show where the chimps are dressed up as people? Lancelot Lynx.
Yes!
That's it.
Lancelot Lynx.
Told you he'd know without flinching.
Yep.
You guys just got a little weirder.
Lancelot Lynx, yep.
That's when Saturday morning was Saturday morning.
And the chimps talked.
Oh, yeah.
The chimps talked.
Oh, that was big.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys just watch cartoons?
That was fun. Land of the Lost, Will and Holly.
I like the real people shows. I didn't like the cartoons.
Jetsons? Come on, Mary.
No. Jetsons? I had to watch the
But
real
you like
thing.
The chimps.
Yeah, the chimps and
dressed
Land
up
of the
like
Lost.
Dressed in
and
suits.
And the banana splits.
I still enjoy the talking chimps. If you catch the talking chimps somewhere, I'll stop. I'll tell you what, if somebody did like a remake of any movie with talking chimps, I would give it an A+.
Wasn't that the name of Cochran's college band, Talking Chimps?
Yeah. I don't like chimps that much. They creep me out.
Really?
They can't talk.
Yeah, like the whole Planet of the Apes thing.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that was great. Take your stinking paws off me. Heston, remember that scene?
So cute, though. Yes.
They must just ate the whole time, because when they talked, they had to chew.
Right.
So they're hard.
Peanut butter.
It only lasted
probably a season. Haven't you ever given your dog peanut butter? Yeah. Of course, it's easy to do.
I'm so glad I never
watched
this.
I didn't know that's how they did that. What's going on with Aretha? Is she really doing this?
She says she's going to retire at the end of the year because she wants to spend more time with her grandkids. She's 76 years old, and... wants to slow down a little bit. She's got a new album coming out at the end of the year. Says that's going to be... She may occasionally do some recording, but she says that she's done with touring. So
we all know Scott Miller. Scott and I and Rob Martier went to the Chicago Theater and saw Aretha 2 years ago. And I'm not kidding. She probably had about 30 backup singers on stage.
Yep.
30. 3-0. Yeah. I am not kidding. 30 people on stage with her. And I was thinking, maybe it's time.
First time I ever saw Aretha Franklin was at the Holiday Star Plaza. Dean, I think I told you this, and I just wore, jeans and a top. Oh, my God. Talk about underdressed.
Underdressed.
When you see Aretha, you dress up.
This was a couple of years ago that I went out to the Star Plaza to interview her before her show.
Yeah.
And I enjoy her show. I mean, she's in her mid-70s.
It's a great show.
Of course she's going to be slowing down a little bit. But when she comes on stage, she... captures all the energy and attention.
Yep,
it's Aretha. But we're backstage. We're getting ready to do the interview. We're in her dressing room, and my technician who was with me had to clip a microphone.
Oh boy!
In her general cleavage area.
Oh yeah.
And he it's mm-hmm. it's like a little tie bar kind of clip.
Yeah, they have their own zip code
that mm-hmm. and it fell in.
Oh,
no.
It fell in.
Never to be seen again.
And my technician's like, excuse me, Ms. Franklin, but she said, well, baby, just go and get it. It's all right.
Oh.
Deets said, okay.
Just dig right in there.
Yeah.
That's great stuff, man.
Well, did he find it?
Yeah, got his coal miner's hat on.
There it is.
We lowered a ladder in and everything.
Head first.
I pulled that puppy right out. So she is retiring. We have some George Clooney news and Amal Clooney. We're going to do that in a second.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Talking to Dean Richards from WGN. George Clooney and Amal are pregnant.
Having a baby.
Oh, yeah. A little
what
Paul Anka.
A wonderful way of saying how much you love me.
That's two for two. 2 days in a row, Dean singing.
They have actually not officially confirmed it, but sources close to them, including Clooney's longtime friend Matt Damon, has blurted out that Clooney and Amal is having twins,
mm-hmm.
The babies are due in June. We're happy for them.
It's great.
Happy for them.
She's my cousin.
Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Really?
Yeah. Lebanese woman. Sure.
What do you mean? Because she's Lebanese,
right.
She's your cousin?
We're all related.
Kind of like you and I are cousins, Dean.
It's like the Greeks and the right. Italians. We all stick together.
Danny Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Tanous, you're all related?
Sure, Uncle Tanous. Danny Thomas used to come to Peoria for the St. Jude telethon every year. Boy, he'd love to kick a few back. Ooh.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I would have never guessed that from
mm-hmm.
him.
I am a huge Jimmy Buffett fan and a huge Huey Lewis fan. And tickets on sale today for Wrigley Field.
Wrigley Field, July 15th. Tickets are going to go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. And as you were saying, the Steve Martin and Martin Short tickets going on sale today as well.
We got any parrot heads in this group? Anybody like to go see Jimmy Buffett?
I've seen him at Wrigley. He's great.
Yeah, I saw him at Wrigley also.
Really good show.
We were all concert. There together?
Yeah.
No.
Were you guys wearing your...
Well, we were...
yeah, no.
We were there together without each other.
I was going, Dave, hey, and he just kind of looked away.
I was in a grass skirt and Hawaiian shirt. Anybody
I saw
else?
You.
I Thank
looked,
you.
Yeah, I saw you too.
And the coconut.
Away.
I do. I was wearing a grass skirt and a coconut brassiere when I went to see Warren Buffett.
No, I don't know if that's the same thing.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was fun.
That's great.
We're called dollar heads.
Yeah.
Dean, we got to get to the movies. Lego Batman movie.
Did loved you? It. Loved it. Loved it.
Great.
Loved it. So funny. So clever. Truly, I mean, they say, a film for all ages. This one really is for everybody. The little kids are going to love the action, the, good guy, bad guy fight between Batman and the Joker and the villains. But the grown-ups are going to love how satirical this is, what a clever spoofing there is about everything in the Batman and superhero universe. Just to give you an idea of one of the jokes, the passcode to get into the Bat Cave is Iron Man sucks. A little sense of kind of the sensibility of this whole thing. It makes fun of the 60s TV show, of all the actors, of all the Batman movies, of the darkness, of everything. It is so funny and so clever. Can't recommend this one enough.
Great.
Dean's List A on that one. I also like John Wick 2.
Oh, my God.
Keanu Reeves
really
is back. As the super assassin, this time he's forced out of retirement. He's got a score to settle with another member of that super assassin society that all kind of hang out at that hotel that we saw in the first movie. So this movie is that's really all you need to know about the plot, because there's really not much more to the plot than that.
Okay,
except that it's about an hour and a half of literally nonstop. Violence and gun shooting.
You got my attention.
Killing, but there is something so beautiful about this. It's almost like watching a ballet, or a choreographed dance. How intensely beautiful the whole thing is done. So while part of me was I'm not overly a fan of movies that are just nonstop violence, but this one is done so cleverly, and at the end of the hour and a half. it's like, wow, that was really a fun movie. It's like 2,000 people were killed in those 90 minutes, but it was a really fun movie. I gave that a B+.
Do you like Keanu Reeves?
I do like Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
Had a very nice conversation with him recently in Los Angeles. We had that on our Sunday show last week. Very nice guy. He's reunited with Lawrence Fishburne.
For this movie,
In this movie. It's way too short of a scene. It's not a major part of the movie, but it's cool to see those two old Matrix guys back together again. And then we have the 50 Shades of Darkness.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Of darkness.
Wait. 50 Shades Darker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. Excuse me.
Well.
50 Shades Darker.
Mm-hmm. How bad?
I got to say I'm kind of neutral on it. If you're asking my personal opinion, I think it's pandering. I think it's extremely exploitive. If I was a woman, I would be offended by all of this.
Really?
That said, I sat in a theater full of mostly women who were oohing and aahing and cawing. And I, you know, was listening to people talking as we were leaving the theater, how romantic it was and how they, oh, I wish I was Anastasia.
Oh, boy.
And all that. So, you know, somebody likes it or Uncle Dean doesn't get it. And I think the latter is probably true that I just don't get it. Anastasia dumps the billionaire boy toy at the end of the last movie. He desperately wants to get back together with her. He cannot. Turns out his handcuffs are for no one else but her.
Oh.
As it turns out.
Good to know.
So, you know, it's them trying to rekindle their relationship.
Is Dakota Johnson naked a lot in this movie?
Oh, yes.
All right,
both of them. Both of them super naked.
May have to go see it for research purposes.
Super naked.
Help
quite
out
a
the
bit,
show so I can report on it.
Both of them. It's often awkward. It's just awkward watching it. I was very uncomfortable.
How do you think Don Johnson feels watching that?
Yeah.
He has to be uncomfortable.
I think he said he wasn't going to watch her, right?
The second one?
Yeah.
I thought he saw the first one.
He saw the first one. I have a feeling Melanie Griffith might have been more okay with it.
I do not know how a parent could watch their daughter, I don't care how old she is, getting restrained and some of the things that happen. I do not know. I don't think there's that much artistic license that anybody could possibly have watching your daughter do that. So if you like the first movie, I think it's fine. The story is clear. The characters are, you know, well defined. If you think it's fantasy, I guess some people, you know, just say, oh, it's fantasy. And maybe even some people might say it's empowering that, you know, that the Anastasia character is in control of her own destiny. They feel like that. I don't get it. I'll be the first one.
I like Dakota. I don't like The Bachelor. Gray.
Jamie Dornan.
Yeah. Jamie Dornan. I think he's miscast.
He's naked quite a bit in it.
I don't need to see that. I'll go get popcorn.
That's why it's the subject of many girls' nights.
What do you give that, Dean? A C?
I'm giving it, just a neutral.
Neutral C.
If it was just me, if I'm just telling you, based on my own recommendation, I would go much lower, but clearly it was connecting with people in the audience. So I'm just going to just cop to Uncle Dean doesn't get this.
You need to take Cochran to like the next one. 50 Shades Darker, you and Cochran sitting together watching this.
That'd be normal.
a seat apart, though, right?
Of course.
Let's go during the day when we're the only two in the
That would be me. Right. That's what I did last time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's normal.
Uh-huh. Crazy. Dean
Ooh,
Richards.
It's a little chilly. I better wear my trench coat. just real quick, programming note. Tomorrow on the WGN TV Morning News, the group In Vogue is going to be on live performing.
Really?
Tomorrow morning, WGN, Saturday Morning News between 7 and 9. So if you're an In Vogue fan, make sure you're tuned in for that.
Okay. Thank you, Dean.
I'll be wearing my handcuffs for that.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
All right. See you, buddy. Dean Richards, 8:32. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. It's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You asked about Ivanka. I visited with her yesterday. You know, this is a very successful businesswoman twice. It's a wonderful line. I own some of it. I'm going to give a free commercial here. Go buy it today, everybody. You can find it online.
All right. Kellyanne Conway from the briefing room.
Kellyanne Conway did an interview, I believe it was with Fox News this morning, where she appeared to, from the confines of the Brady briefing room, promote the products of Ivanka Trump. Do you believe that she crossed an ethical line?
Kellyanne has been counseled, and that's all we're going to go with. She's been counseled on that subject, and that's it.
Uh-oh. I might be in trouble on that one.
Who is advising these people? I just don't get it.
You mean counseling?
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. You can see him weekday mornings on The Morning Joe and Sundays as host of Sunday Today on NBC. It's our old buddy Willie Geist. Willie, every day is a new thing with the presidency, isn't it?
It is, Pete. It's good to talk to you, man. I mean, that story even goes a step further this morning, though. We were just talking about it on Morning Joe, which is you had Sean Spicer come out to the podium and say Kellyanne Conway has been counseled. So quickly this morning, the Associated Press came out with a story, and we had Julie Pace, the writer, on the show this morning, where Trump was upset at Sean Spicer for using the term counseled and admonishing Kellyanne Conway because he believes that Kellyanne Conway was just sticking up for his daughter. So you have to, as if we need to say this again, you've got to throw all the old conventional ways of thinking about presidents and politics out the window with Trump, because this is, in his psychology, a personal attack on his daughter. As you saw, he attacked Nordstrom on Twitter. And so for someone like Kellyanne Conway, ethics be damned, to go out in the White House briefing room on TV with a White House logo behind her and defend his daughter, good for her, says Donald Trump.
This is how it all started, with the president, with the Nordstrom tweet. And again, how is she being treated unfairly by Nordstrom if she's not running the business anymore?
Right. And Nordstrom said they told her a month ago, at least, that it wasn't selling the way they wanted it to sell and that they were going to take her off the site. Whether you believe that or not, whether there's some politics at play as well. I mean, they're a private company and they have a right to do what they want to do. But I think also it's just this level of distraction and the level to which Donald Trump cannot let any slight, real or perceived, go by the board without weighing in and into the fight all the way from the Oval Office. They're doing some things that they could be talking about. You know, he talked to the president of China last night and confirmed that he supports the One China policy. There are things out there that he might like to be pushing, but instead we're talking about Ivanka's ankle strap pumps at Nordstrom.
Oh, he gets in his own way. He really does.
Yeah. Willie, it seems like so many of the rules are being rewritten. I mean, you just said, you know, at the start of the interview, this is new territory. This is new ground. You know, we've never seen anything like this where just, you know, all of these rules are just kind of being either crossed out or stepped over or pushed to the side. Can this continue?
Well, I think there was some expectation, perhaps foolish now in hindsight, by some people that once he arrived in the White House, that the conventions of the presidency and the gravity of the presidency would dawn on and weigh on Donald Trump, and that he would change his behavior. And that just hasn't happened. I mean, if you trace it back, actually, go back. Remember, they said the pivot will come when he has to start winning votes in Iowa and New Hampshire. Okay, the pivot didn't come. He was still Donald Trump. Once he's the nominee, he's got to pivot to the general. He'll be a different guy. No, that didn't happen. Once he's elected president, he'll pivot and become a different guy in the White House. I think everyone can now safely say Donald Trump is not going to change. He's the same guy, and
this
he's
is it.
Always inclined to fight, and this is what it's going to be. I mean, it's a fire hose of 3 weeks, it's only been 3 weeks of fire hose of stories and news and facts to check and lies told. And here we are 3 weeks in with three years and 11 months and a week left in his first term.
I feel like he gets worked up at night and then he throws it out there on Twitter and then they have to do mop-up work the next day.
Totally. And you know, even yesterday, there were a couple examples. So he was in a meeting with senators, Joe Manchin among them, moderate senators, that was called the meeting. And Joe Manchin came out of that meeting and said, Donald Trump just told us that he would take a good look at the Gang of Eight immigration bill, which includes a pathway to citizenship, which for a guy who was going to build the wall and have a deportation force and all that stuff was, whoa, wait a minute. And then the White House has to come out from the podium and say, well, Joe Manchin misspoke. That's not what the president meant.
Oh,
so
God.
This is the other side of having an unconventional president, is that he says what he wants to say in the moment, what crosses his mind. It's not part of some strategy they've discussed beforehand, or if they have, he works from the gut. And he does that all the time. They have to come and clean it up. And the same thing can be said for the Gorsuch conversations yesterday with various senators, including Blumenthal of Connecticut and Ben Sasse of Nebraska, coming out and saying, yeah, Gorsuch told us he was demoralized and disheartened by Donald Trump going after the federal judiciary. Mm-hmm. And then the White House to come out and say, well, it didn't quite happen that way. It's just cleanup after cleanup. So you can't clear a path to actually get things done and get a message out.
What do you have to gain by attacking an American hero like Senator McCain, which he did yesterday? Mm-hmm. You have nothing to gain from that.
I know, well, you know what? I think he honestly learned from his campaign is that he's got nothing to lose from that. You know, I mean, he attacked John McCain. He attacked the Kahn family. He attacked Judge Curiel. And it worked for him to be combative and to be seen somehow as sticking up for whatever he was sticking up for in those cases. And I don't think that applies to the presidency. He's going to learn quickly that he needs John McCain in the Senate, where the Republicans only have 52 votes. It's probably not a good idea to piss off one of those guys who, by the way, is linked to Lindsey Graham on most votes. That's two right there. Now you're down to 50-50. So, he's going to have to learn to think strategically, whether he does it or not. We'll see.
We're talking with Willie Geist, the host of Sunday Today. Now, I follow you on Twitter, and your wife sent out a great tweet the other day. It said, schools close tomorrow in New York City. At Willie Geist, just rushed to Duane Reade, which is Walgreens of New York, for goldfish crackers and mini Twix.
It was supposed to be, I mean, in Chicago, you guys laugh at our snowstorms, and rightly so, because I come from Chicago and all my people do. We know snowstorms there. But there was supposed to be a foot of snow two nights ago, and so my wife said, run across the street before the snow hits and get us ready. The kids don't have school tomorrow. I think she meant, like, water and bread and things like that, maybe some protein.
Yeah.
I got a big bag of Twix Bites. I got some Ritz crackers, Cracker Barrel cheese, some Altoids I thought might be helpful. Just a complete failure as a provider. But the kids liked it. I think that's all that matters.
Your tweet back to your wife was, I also logged down a sleeve of Ritz crackers, some Cracker Barrel cheddar singles, and enough Altoids to ride out the storm. Hashtag provider.
I'm the worst.
That's great stuff, man. So this Sunday on Today, you're talking to Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory. This guy gets $1 million an episode. A million.
He gets $1 million an episode, and he's got a cut of the show, which is the most popular scripted show in syndication. So $1 million an episode for 23 episodes a season is just the beginning for Jim Parsons. He's also the face of Intel. You've seen him in those commercials.
Oh, yeah.
With Michael Phelps.
Yep.
It's one of those shows that I didn't watch it a ton, and every week you look at the top of the ratings, and it's there. And it's not really close if you take away sporting events. It's, you know, they're still in this age of fractured media. Big Bang Theory gets almost 20 million viewers a week. And then
you
put in syndication on top of that. So he's just a really smart, interesting guy. And this role came along like in his mid-30s, you know, and he'd sort of been a character actor and done stage work. And then along comes this audition, and they didn't know if the show was going to succeed. And now it's, for the last 10 years, just obviously totally changed his life. And he's just a great, charming, funny, interesting guy. I think people like it.
Look at Johnny Galecki, who's an Oak Park kid. He did Roseanne. He's making money from that on syndication. He's making $1 million an episode on Big Bang.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're all making $1 million. They went in together. He's also, Jim Parsons is producing a spinoff show now about Sheldon Cooper. People worried that the original Big Bang Theory may not come back for season 11, and he addresses that in the interview, too. So, just a fun dude to talk to. Really, really a good interview.
I love your Sunday interviews. When you sit down at the restaurant, you have lunch, and you're just sitting there chatting. It's great stuff, Willie.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I love it that way. You know, we sit down and we actually can talk, and it doesn't feel like sometimes when you get in a hotel room with somebody and they come up and you're sitting across from each other, it just feels a little too staged. But if you can actually go into an atmosphere, I mean, maybe you find this too. You just get more out of people, you know, when they feel like they're relaxed and they're actually having a conversation. So it's been fun. It's been fun.
I have a huge crush on Leslie Mann. When did you do her?
Oh, how great is Leslie Mann? That was, she was on 2 weeks ago. We shot it probably a week before that in L.A. And by the way, next week we have Judd Apatow, so we get both halves of that power couple. She made some damning charges against her husband, and he gets a chance to respond to them.
Willie Geist, Sunday Today, and of course, The Morning Show. Willie, great to talk to you again. Thanks, man.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I had this guy leave me a voicemail at work, so I called him at home. And then he emailed me to my BlackBerry, and so I texted to his cell, and then he emailed me to my home account, and the whole thing just got out of control. And I miss the days where you had one phone number and one answering machine, and that one answering machine housed one cassette tape, and that one cassette tape either had a message from the guy or it didn't. And now you just have to go around checking all these different portals just to get rejected by seven different technologies. It's exhausting. I just haven't
met you yet. 9:13, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, live on CLTV and 720 WGN. SmartDatingAcademy.com is our website. In studio with us, Bella Gandhi. I love that you're here because I have so much to talk to you about.
I love that.
I have two neighbors. I love these guys. They're not doing anything for Valentine's Day. I'm like, guys, you got to step up your game because it's on a Tuesday. You got to do something this weekend.
Yes, bring it.
I'm with you. I love people that say, you know, we don't really celebrate Valentine's Day. Well, you got to step up your game and start.
Exactly. It will never hurt you to celebrate Valentine's Day, men.
Thank you.
Do you hear that? Right. It will never, ever work. It will never backfire on you.
Okay, for guys listening right now that have not done anything, what can they do this weekend? Because if you're a parent, your kid's got a game this weekend, you're running around, you're doing something.
It's so easy. Women, ultimately, we're not difficult. Get a pretty card. Write about what we do for you, what we bring to your lives. Make it all about us, what you love about us. Some flowers, maybe a pair of earrings, movie tickets. That's it. It doesn't have to be big.
When is it going to be about us, though? I want it to be about me. See, here is the hierarchy in our house. It goes... It's
like
my
the other
wife.
364 I'm days sorry. Are about the guys.
Right. It's Charlie McMurray, 11-year-old Charlie McMurray. Then you have my wife. Then you have our dog, Wrigley. Then you have my wife's phone. And then a list of 30 things, and I'm on the bottom of the list right there.
Oh, that's not
true. Yeah.
Uh-huh. The phone lines are going to be ringing soon.
Yep. I mean, that's women forget about guys.
What would you like on Valentine's Day?
I would like, well, of course, the guys want to get busy. I mean, that's the number one gift, right? The gift that keeps giving.
Simple. Oh, my God. I thought you were
going to
say
that. We're like lap dogs.
A video
you know,
game.
It's like giving a dog a treat. It's the same thing.
That's it. Do you see how simple men and women are? Right? Okay. This is it.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I just figured it out.
We cracked the code. We cracked the freaking code. Here we are. We're all good.
Let me tell you what I'm doing for my wife. I got her a facial Sunday morning. I'm like, just take off, get your facial done. If you want to do some shopping, great. I got Charlie and the dog. No problem. And then we're going out to dinner at Cota de Volpe on Southport. We had the guys in yesterday. Fairly new restaurant, 6 months old. We're going there for dinner.
I want to try that.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good?
Really good.
All right.
So am I good? Do I need to get flowers on Tuesday?
You know, if you want to, again,
that
it'll never
yes.
hurt
she
you.
She gave me that look. It means yes.
I agree.
Flowers? Well, you told us what you wanted.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So the flowers are just a stepping stone to get you there.
Okay.
And they're not that expensive.
Right.
I mean, really. A dozen roses. What?
Exactly.
30
Some hydrangeas. Like, make it cute and springy.
Dave, you're married. What are you doing this weekend?
We're going to dinner tomorrow night because it's a little tough to go out because of the hour we wake up.
Right.
On a weeknight, so... Tuesday night, I will grill lobster tails at home.
Aw.
I like that.
Remember, you were going to go
so
over
nice.
There?
Oh, well, that's right.
That.
The lobster tail thing. I was going to invite
myself. Pete was going to join us, Bella. Do you think that's a good idea?
Honey, I know it's Valentine's Day. Here's my friend Pete.
He's bringing the butter.
But I don't have a gift yet. She has flowers around the house. I mean, I get flowers, but she'll go to Mariano's and buy herself flowers. I mean, not for Valentine's Day.
You know, how about a spa gift card? You always say that, right?
Yeah,
a
what
massage?
Does she like to do?
Well, she had a massage the other day.
That's enough.
Yeah.
She's spoiled.
Could I say that was retro or a proactive massage before Valentine's Day?
Uh-huh.
That can't count. Yeah, that doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. I don't know.
You can't go wrong with a spa gift. You can't.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, but what do you get a guy? My goddaughter just started dating this guy. It's very new. I want to say 2 months. I hope I'm not embarrassing her, but she literally said to me, do I get him a gift? And I said, I don't know. It's two couple months, and they're young. They're kids.
They're kids. Something small, something thoughtful. She can make him dinner, like super easy.
Yeah, I'm thinking something less, you know, high maintenance.
Less high maintenance than that. Make him a playlist. Remember, we loved getting mixes, right?
Oh, God,
that was our
thing. I'm all about the mixtapes.
Yeah, where's our mixtape?
I love it.
Yeah,
You promised us.
I did. I was going to bring in a cassette today.
You, I was going to make a mixtape.
I mean, that was like the ultimate sign of romance for a 19-year-old. It's like if a dude gave you a mixtape.
They're in love.
It's it.
God, you're right.
Yeah. Like starting with The Cure or something like that. Do you remember this?
Just Like Heaven.
Right. Do you think I got a mixtape that started with The Cure? Yes.
Mine was Molly Hatchet, but that's okay.
Metallica.
So can you send music to people? Do they take it the same way? Because music, you used to be able to hold it, and it was something personal, and if you actually made a tape or a CD, that was a big deal. Now you just email a song. Yeah. It doesn't seem too personal.
Or a playlist.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Hey, I think millennials would like that.
What are some dud gifts? Anna DeVlantis always tells the story about how, remember, she was dating this guy, and he bought her windshield wiper blades for Valentine's Day.
That's so crazy. Right.
I mean, it's practical. You need it, but maybe not.
How long were they dating?
Oh, they did. They think they dated for a little while, maybe a year.
I mean, if you're a year or if you're 6 months into a relationship and you get a girl windshield wipers.
I mean, here's the only caveat. If she said, get me windshield wiper blades,
she didn't.
That's okay.
And you
other
have to make
that,
sure the guy installs them.
Like, game over.
Right.
I mean, self-help gifts are a bad thing to get for Valentine's Day.
There you
go. Right. Hey, here's your membership to Weight Watchers. Probably not the best day to do that.
Here you go, honey.
Like the guy
Drop
yesterday.
Drop a few.
Exactly.
We
exactly.
The guest in yesterday, who said, what did he say he was going to get his wife?
He was going to weigh her before dinner. Yeah.
Stop.
Which was a joke.
It was a joke.
It was a joke.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So anything along that vein, even if you know your partner wants to improve themselves, this is not the time to say, here's a gift that can make you even better. No.
Can we put together a top five list for people that are listening right now, for guys and girls? I'm going to take a break and we can come back and they can just, people will drive in their cars and they're like, okay, I kind of have something. I don't. We're going to give you a list. Can
we'll
do that?
We'll give you a list. We'll give
All
you
right.
a list.
Bella Gonde in studio. SmartDatingAcademy.com is her website. It's 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Kane left circle to Keith to Panarin high slot. Back over to Keith, top of the right circle. Shoots. Big save. Rebound. Score! Jonathan Toews in overtime. Stakes it past Darcy Kuemper. And the Blackhawks beat the Minnesota Wild 4-3 in overtime up here in the land of 10,000 lakes. A big win for the Blackhawks on the final stretch of their six-game road trip.
We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. It is 624. I'm sorry, it's 924, not 624. 924. Bella Gonde in studio with us. SmartDatingAcademy.com is her website. And we have the man that sits alongside John Weideman on broadcast right here on 720 WGN. It is Troy Murray. Troy, what are you doing for Valentine's Day for John?
Boy, that would caught me off guard.
We have Bella Gonde in here from Smart Dating Academy.
I'm bad with gifts, so I'm going to have to wait a little bit longer before I make that decision.
Okay, you got to think that one out. All right,
good that you're being thoughtful.
Yeah, I do.
He likes chocolates.
You like chocolates, yeah? Or Weideman likes chocolates. Hey, Troy, huge win the other night in Minnesota.
He likes any food.
What was that?
He likes any kind of food.
Don't we all? We're men. We'll eat anything. Let's talk about the Hawks for a second. Huge win the other night.
You know what it was? I mean, you kind of slayed one dragon with the Minnesota Wild. I think they'd lost 8 games in regulation to the Wild, but beaten them in the playoffs every year. But it was kind of a statement game for the Blackhawks. I think there was a little bit of hype that was overboard as far as the biggest game of the year, but probably the biggest game up to that point for the Blackhawks. You know, it was a tough game. Minnesota is a legitimate, a real good hockey team this year. And for the Blackhawks to win that game gives them a little bit of satisfaction that, you know, they're getting closer to the way that they want to play against a real good hockey team. And now they got another animal here tonight that they haven't been able to solve in the Winnipeg Jets.
Troy, once we hit March, what do you look for with a playoff team?
If you look at, you know, what Joe Quenneville is looking for this team is the consistency for a 60-minute hockey game. And I think for the most part in that game against Minnesota, just because they're a good hockey team, Minnesota is, they're going to dominate certain parts of the game. You've got to be able to find ways to get through those moments. You know, they gave up 2 goals in the second period, and then there was just a weird play that took over 6 minutes to review as far as a coach's challenge on an offside. And that kind of took some of the emotion out of the game, especially on the Minnesota side of it. and gave the Blackhawks an opportunity to kind of regroup. But Quenneville was looking for that consistency over 60 minutes.
Okay.
He wants to have that four-line rotation, and he wants that concentration, that focus from start to finish. You have to have that in going into the postseason, down the stretch, and getting to the middle of the ice, defending the middle of the ice in front of your net and getting to the middle of the ice at the opposition. That is one thing that he wants to see a little bit more.
Hey, Troy, you and I had a chance to talk off the air yesterday about that whole offside review thing. And you know, it's one of those where they have the technology. I thought when they put this rule in, it was a good one to give to use replay to determine whether a play is offside. But apparently they're not there yet. They're not where they need to be. And the point I made last half hour on the air is, if there needs to be room for common sense, there still has to be a human element here, where if it passes the eye test, even if maybe you don't have the conclusive video evidence, if it's close enough, then that's where the officials have to say, okay, the play was offside and the goal shouldn't count. Do you buy that, or is there something else that I'm missing here and something else they need to do?
Well, the hard thing there, Dave, is what they're trying to do. And when they put the rule in, you know, a couple of years ago in the playoffs against the Los Angeles Kings, there was an obvious blatant offside that was missed. The rule was kind of put in to catch those type of calls,
right?
Not to be whether the guy's skate is on the line, on the ice, whether it's up in the air. You know, logic looked at that play the other night and said that it's offside. But I got a side on the side of the linesman there. If they're not 100% sure of when the puck hit the stick prior to Zach Parise tagging up at the blue line there, the letter of the law says that the way that it's in there is it has to be conclusive to overturn the play, the call on the ice. You know, I think there should be some common sense there, but you have to take that common sense out if you want to get the exact call the right way, the way that it's supposed to be done. It wasn't meant to be this nitpicky. It wasn't meant to have a 6-minute delay. It's like, okay, right, great, we missed an offside. Maybe somebody skated in front of the linesman. He's a foot offside. There's no problem. Let's just stop the play and we'll face off outside the blue line. It wasn't meant to have these long delays, but they do want to get the correct call. And I feel, and trust me, those guys, those linesmen, they wanted to get the call right. They used a cell phone to call somebody, a lifeline to call somebody, which I thought was kind of amusing. They showed him on the Jumbotron at the XL Energy Center and showed them calling the Minions. And so they actually had a pretty good setup in Minnesota, but it delayed the game too much, and you want to keep the pace going. So I don't know how you do it, Dave. It's not the way that they wanted to have that call being decided, but if they can't see it 100% and they're not 100% sure that it did touch the stick before Parise, all logic said it did, then they have to make the call that they did.
Troy, back-to-back games. We got the Jets tonight, the Oilers tomorrow. How tough is that second game on a trip like this?
You know, it's half and half. I think that, you know, Minnesota the other night played in Winnipeg before they played the Blackhawks. Every team goes through it. You kind of think that, well, maybe they're going to be a little bit tired. Minnesota certainly didn't look tired, and that was coming off a 4-game road trip as well. I think it's a little bit overmade as far as, you know, these guys are great athletes. They get as much rest and nutrition as they need in between games. They can handle playing back-to-back games. It's always happened, you know, the way that the schedule is. So it's not a big deal. Maybe the big deal that is both of these teams, the Winnipeg Jets and the Edmonton Oilers, are extremely fast, big, strong teams. Edmonton has completely changed the makeup of the way that they play here with the youngster Connor McDavid and some of the heavier guys that they brought into the lineup. It's going to be a physical, grinding, speedy game that the Blackhawks have to play here the next two nights. And after some travel and after some, you know, long nights getting into Edmonton, whatever it is, you might be a little bit fatigued.
So, Bella, John, or Troy sits across from John when they do games. Is there anything that he should get John for Valentine's Day?
What do you think you should get him? Food.
Everybody loves food.
Yeah, you said it well, Pete. Guys love food. Guys love to eat.
There it is.
Maybe John's vice is food.
Maybe some nachos.
he loves Pete Weber's a broadcaster in Nashville, and we always kind of joked about how much John ate when he sits down to the dinner table. And Pete Weber brought an entire tray of hot dogs, had an entire tray of hot dogs delivered to our booth in Nashville so John could eat them. An entire tray, probably 20 hot dogs. He didn't need them all.
Holy hot dogs.
Troy, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on.
You know what, Pete? I just want to say a quick shout-out to Will and Jamie and Steiny. They're all in the Blackhawks office. They're wearing Troy Murray jerseys today. I just wanted to give them a quick shout-out.
Wait a second. Why are they wearing Troy Murray jerseys today?
I'm sure they're not, but they said that they're listening and wearing Troy Murray jerseys, so okay. I give them a little crap.
We would wear them, Troy, if you sent
them. Send them over, man. I'll do it.
That's it.
Hey, you got the right people on the other end listening.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put it on. Thank you,
there
Troy.
You Thanks for having me on.
All right. Troy Murray. I love him. He's just the absolute best. Tonight, you can hear him alongside John Weideman on 720 WGN. Bella, before you go, top five things that people can do this weekend or for Valentine's Day.
Top five.
Top five.
Top five. So if you're talking about gifts, guys, go the easy route, right? If you've got a girlfriend, a partner, your wife, know what she likes and get her that. Now, that being said, if you're in limbo, go to the flowers. Go to the candy, right? It's easy stuff. Just
simple.
Acknowledge that she exists and that you love her. Okay? We're easy.
Just acknowledge that you're married.
Just acknowledge that that you'd still pick her all over again.
Okay. SmartDatingAcademy.com. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It is 9:32. The big story up next. France terror attack thwarted. Andre with details on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, hey, who wants pizza?
I do.
Who doesn't love pizza? Everybody loves pizza. 9:45, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. In studio with us is Chef Alan from Home Run Inn. How did you celebrate National Pizza Day yesterday? What'd you do?
Oh, I celebrated National Pizza Day by making sure that I ate my favorite pizza. How else am I going to do that?
What are your go-to toppings? If you got to order a pie, what do you put on there?
My favorites are spinach and plum tomatoes. But before I got to Home Run...
Spinach? Hold on a second. Let me think about this. I do spinach, plum tomatoes. I always feel like the plum tomatoes make it too watery.
Well, you have to drain them properly. That's how you do it.
Too lazy, man.
Because we use this really high-quality canned tomatoes. They're canned at the peak of freshness. And what happens is, you know, if you don't like tomatoes, you'll like these. I'm actually not a raw tomato eater, but these, I can eat them out of the can. But we drain them a bit, and then they come out perfectly in the pizza.
History is being made right now in this studio.
And it never eats during the show. This is crazy.
No, this
is too good to pass up. This is great.
Mary, we have a lot of pie down here if you want to come down.
Oh, thanks.
May not have much.
I'm coming. What?
Once we get done with
Dave.
It.
People are so opinionated about pizza. They want crisp crust. They want soft crust. Everybody has an opinion when it comes to pizza, don't they, Chef?
Oh, yeah. Everybody has it because there's so many different varieties. And I guess the best example I can give you is that, you know, people always talk about New York style versus Chicago style. And Chicago has its own different styles. We have deep dish, of course. Home Run Inn is all, it's all thin crust. And the Chicago style thin crust, whether every company knows it or not, they're copying Home Run Inn because Home Run Inn started that in 1947 with their pizza. So that really crisp crust that's ubiquitous in Chicago, as well as cutting it in squares, Home Run Inn started that. And so everyone, whether or not they know it, is actually copying Home Run Inn. So it's one of those things where, you know, food is very personal to people. And as a result, you know, you have your preferences.
When you think of Chicago pizza, Home Run Inn, I mean, that's the first thing.
Oh, yeah.
They go hand in hand. Look at Andrea over there, salivating with the pizza box. People watching on CLTV.
I grew up 95th and Pulaski, so we would go, you know, when I was younger, we would actually go to, you know, back then, remember, you know, Friday night, you would go have pizza on a Friday night.
The whole family.
That was,
after a football game,
The whole family would go. Your cheese is insane. Is there more than one kind of cheese in there?
No, we just use a really high-quality whole milk mozzarella. That's it. And that's really kind of the basis of what we do is really great ingredients. Don't screw them up.
It's phenomenal. It's literally when you take a bite, it's kind of the long piece of cheese that kind of stretches across.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's the best.
I get my pizza well done because I like a very crisp crust. What do you think about that?
I think you're not alone, and I think it's a great preference. I like it a little bit. I like it nice and browned. And for me, I can. The only thing I don't like is underbaked, and because we actually
drives me crazy.
Yeah, we bake our pizzas for a long time because it's very unique, and as a result, we don't have any issues with underbaking pizzas. But people will ask for them light baked. And if that's what they like, then, you know, that's fantastic. But we get a lot of well-done, a lot of requests when it comes to pizza.
I think we've solved the Valentine's Day question, too.
The heart-shaped pizza from Home Run Inn.
Home Run Inn pizza. You can't beat this.
Is that hard to make, or you just put it in a pan?
It's simple. It's actually pretty simple. We get it. You get a heart-shaped tart pan. You can buy them online. And we, you know, bring them in bulk to the restaurants, and we bake them in the pan. And it's really pretty simple to do.
Now it's a half heart shape.
I mean,
sorry,
I've only
that.
Had one slice of pizza from this pizza. Andrea ate half the pizza over here.
No, I had one, and Ed had.
No, I had my own pizza
He's
right
got his
over
own
here.
Pie over there.
Oh, so this is mine.
That's yours.
Wait a second, I want some
more
of that.
I mean, we can all share our pizzas.
Yes.
Chef, what's the most exotic ingredient you've ever put on a pizza?
The most exotic ingredient I've ever put on a pizza would have to be something along the lines of, like, duck or something like that.
Duck.
I like doing that sort of thing. Not
Isn't that chewy? A little chewy?
Oh, I thought you said something else because I'm from Skokie. But
thanks, chef.
No, really. If you do it right, it's very nice and tender. Especially if you use something like a duck confit, because it's going to be cooked in fat, so it's really nice and tender. And I like that. At Home Run Inn, we have some really nice premium ingredients too. Like, you can get grilled artichoke hearts on your pizza, and that makes a nice combination.
Chef Allen in studio with us from Home Run Inn. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to ask you, how many toppings is too many? Because some people load it up and other people just have one or two toppings. So hold that thought. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. 720 WGN and live on CLTV as I spit my pizza on the microphone in studio with the Chef Allen from Home Run Inn. Talking about toppings on a pizza. How many toppings is too many?
My opinion was based on experience, you know, working with it, needing it. I think that four should be your maximum. Personally, I think less is more. So in that case, if you want specific toppings, you know, try them separately at different times or all together separately.
Okay.
But overall, I would say that if you overtop a pizza, you're going to screw up the balance of it, and especially the baking time. It always takes longer to bake. And that affects your dough and your crust. And so I think you should really never go with more than four.
I usually do two. I do sausage and green pepper. That's my go-to.
Okay.
What about you?
I do, we do half sausage and I do half spinach. I love spinach on my pizza.
Yeah. Oh, it's
my son doesn't.
It's outstanding. Well, the one thing I would recommend is that if you're doing halves, if you're getting something like an extra large pizza, get two small pizzas that are just the toppings you would want instead of the halves. I know sometimes it can be a little bit more, but...
it's going to taste better, isn't it?
It's going to bake better. It's going to taste
better. Damn, I've been doing it wrong.
Yeah.
No, what about thin crust? Do you fold your pizza when you eat it, like a sandwich?
When it comes to Home Run Inn pizza, you can't really do that because it's such a crispy crust. I spend a lot of time in New York personally, so when it comes to like that type of the New York style, like greasy slice, yeah, you got to fold it.
You got to fold it.
But with our pizza, you don't really fold it.
Yeah. New Yorkers eat it wrong anyway. Yeah. So.
Do you frown on people that use a knife and fork to eat their pizza?
No, they're eating pizza.
See? Yeah. That's real Chicago pizza.
I'm like, come on, pick it up and eat it. What's with the knife and fork?
It depends on how they do it. If they do it because it's difficult to eat, that's one thing. But if they're pretentious, that's another thing. You know, but really, as long as they're eating it and enjoying it, then I'm happy.
Dave, you're a knife and fork guy, aren't you?
I am with wings too.
What?
Yeah, well, because I just don't like getting.
Come on, man.
He does. He eats a teeny little wing with
you're
a knife.
You're a sportscaster. You get down and dirty.
Yeah, you
eat pizza and wings together.
I like to break the mold, Pete.
Wow.
That's what he did today. History made on the show today.
How many slices did you have?
Just now?
Yeah.
I had two.
He was eating like he was going to the electric chair, wasn't he?
I've known you almost 20 years, Dave. I've never seen that before. This is history.
This is great.
Yeah.
It was too good
to
pass up.
You broke him, Chef.
It's what I do.
What's your busiest day of the year? Super Bowl?
Super Bowl is busy, but our busiest day of the year usually comes around the holiday time, because we get a lot of holiday parties and people come in to us for events. You know, we're, for a lot of people, we're a special place. So they come to us for events, so they have family gatherings and businesses have holiday parties. So our busiest day actually usually lies somewhere around the holiday times. But Super Bowl, definitely, it's busy for a time, but then, you know, once the game really gets going, it kind of drops off. Because everyone has what they already want, because there's a time frame on it. But the other times that are really busy is graduation time. Because like I said, people come for events, and we get parties of 20, 30, just walking in the door after graduation.
Sure.
So those are our busiest times.
If people want the heart-shaped pizzas, anything special they need to do, what do they have to do?
Yeah, so right now the heart-shaped pizzas are, they started being available yesterday, and then they're available all the way through the 14th, which is Tuesday.
Okay.
And they're on special, so it's $12.99. Right now, they're not regularly available on our menu, but we're actually discussing whether or not we should do that.
Okay.
And it's a unique experience, and it, you know, when you add different geometry to your you know, pizza eating experience, so it's fun. And
I love your new place on Sheffield.
Thank you.
Not too far from Wrigley, just north of Belmont. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we love it. I think it's our most beautiful restaurant. I think we have nice looking restaurants, but this one we really went above and beyond.
Yeah, you put a lot of money into it. It's good stuff. Yeah. Very family, ready to go. It's mm-hmm. great for kids. Chef Allen from Home Run Inn, thanks for coming in, man. Good to see you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
All right. It's 720 WGN and live on CLTV.